The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
A fin whale has washed up ashore in Cork. Now we're talking 17 metres, so 50 plus feet and probably 40 to 50 tonnes of whale lying on the beach. Padraig Hooley is with us. He's sightings officer with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. Padraig, not the kind of sighting that you would want.
Yeah, well, technically it's not a sighting, it's a stranding. We in the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, we have two recording schemes. One is the sighting scheme, which I kind of am involved in, which is, you know, monitoring and recording of things at sea that are living and alive and healthy. Then we have our stranding scheme, which records incidents like this. And most of them are of animals that have died naturally at sea and wash up on our beaches. But occasionally, and you know, we have live strandings of animals such as, you know, porpoises or dolphins that might be still alive, and we have a response to get people on the ground in some instances to try and refloat those animals and help them to get back out to sea. So this is definitely a stranding event, and it's when these incidents happen, and they do happen. Fin whales, we would most years record, you know, one or two fin whales every year. In fact, there was a second fin whale this week off the Welsh coast, not all that far away, on Monday of this week. So it just shows that, you know, they are out there at sea, and obviously what strands on our beaches is a subset of those healthy animals that are out there in our ocean.
Tell us a little bit about the fin whale.
Well, the fin whale is a mighty animal. The fin whale is the second largest creature on the planet, second only to the blue whale. And the old whalers used to call them the greyhound of the sea. And that's because they were so fast. They're an incredible, for such a big whale, they're very streamlined. They're a very, very fast whale. So for that reason, fin whales today are probably one of the more numerous of the great whales out there, because the early whalers simply couldn't catch them. And these were the early whalers, like the guys who used to go out from northern Spain and Portugal in their little handheld boats, or little, you know, rowboats almost, with handheld harpoons. Now they could catch the slow-moving whales like the Basque whale or the humpback whale or the right whale, but they had no chance of catching the mighty fin whale. They were just way too fast. So for that reason, by the time we got to the days of modern whaling, fin whale numbers were actually very good. So fin whale numbers could cope far better with modern whaling and, you know, the advancements and techniques for killing these whales. So today, as a result, anyway, of their speed, fin whales are actually reasonably numerous out there. They're probably the second most commonly recorded whale species that we've been recording, certainly in the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, for the last 30 years.
And what do they live on?
Things feed on very, very small things, but they feed on them in very large quantities. So if you're a fin whale, for instance, having teeth would be useless. So they're members of what we call the family of baleen whales. So they use baleen or a filter in their mouth, which enables them catch large volumes of very, very small prey. And some of this prey is as small as krill, you know, which is only about the size of your thumbnail. But most of the fin whales we see in Irish waters are feeding on the likes of sprat and sand eels and herring. So pelagic fish that form large shoals. And of course, that enables, they've got this incredible technique for lunging on the surface. And, you know, they can just literally, during a course of a day feeding, they can literally feed on tons of these very, very small pelagic shoaling fish, usually sprat.
And the one that is washed up, it is, I mean, in rough terms, we're talking something about the size of an articulated truck, aren't we?
Yeah, you are. Now, the animal in Wales is actually much bigger. It's a 21-metre fin whale. So this was 17. I think the guys measured it at about 17 and a half metres, but it is missing bits, so it's probably bigger. It's probably 18-plus metres. So, yeah, you are talking about a big animal. And animals this size just give you a whale of a problem, and that whale of a problem is how to dispose of it. And, of course, you know, you've always got a couple of options. None of them are particularly good. They all work out being quite expensive for the local county councils, and it is ultimately their responsibility. I mean, the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group would always like to have first dibs on these carcasses, so we can go, we can identify, do a bit of science on them, you know, confirm species, gender, take some length measurements, take some skin and tissue samples. for analysis. But once we're done with it, basically, you know, the options are you either leave it on the beach for Mother Nature to run its course, and, you know, that's what would have happened thousands of years ago, or, you know, the local community would have gone down and they would have hacked it up and they would have eaten it over the winter. But, you know, nowadays that's not really ever going to happen. So really it's left leaves the county councils with a couple of options. They either try to bury it, and that's a good option if you can bury it above the high water mark, or they break it up into bite-sized, you know, 10-meter chunks, if you like, and then take it off for disposal to an industrial incinerator, like what happened large, you know, dairy, cows, horses, big mammals that die, you know, on farms. They're all taken off to an industrial incinerator and they're disposed of that way. But the options really depend on the geography, you know, the local logistics, what's possible. Like, we had a fin whale in Clonee in County Waterford in the depths of winter. It's still down there because the county council had no access. And, I mean, the locals are furious and it's been smelly over the summer type thing. But, you know, there's nothing you can do with it. You can't just take it and lift it, you know. You can only lift it with very, very specific heavy lifting equipment. And if they can't access it because of the local geography, well, then the options are even more limited.
But does that mean that somewhere in Cork there is a county council cleanup crew who are going to get a call on Monday morning saying, lads, grab the chainsaws, it's going to be a difficult week?
Yeah, they've already had that call days ago, Anton, and chainsaws won't do it either. It's a great way to destroy a really good chainsaw. Never take a chainsaw to one of these dead animals, because you will only the muscle is very abrasive, and you will only ruin the engine. It'll just get full of whale blubber, and it'll just make a great YouTube video how not to break up a whale carcass. It's the engineering department. This is basically an engineering and logistics nightmare, and we've seen this play out many times, and yeah, they'll be doing all sorts of cost benefit analysis, but at the end of the day it's what's most practical. And quite often, if they can push it up above the high water line and bury it, that usually is the simplest and most straightforward way of doing it. Because, you know, an animal that's this size, you know, you can't just put some slings under it and throw it onto the back of a, you know, an articulated lorry and, you know, drive it across the country to an incinerator. It's just too big a problem, you know. So, maybe just burying it above the high water mark. One option we would always say is to try and bury it with a view to retrieving it later. And we've done this with the famous Kilbritton fin whale, same species, in Cork McSharry about 15 years ago. And that animal is now on display in the public park in Kilbritton. So it's a wonderful opportunity if the local community can get in behind it and get some money together and dig a big trench, put it into it in horse manure, put the carcass into it, bury it for a year, maybe 2 years, and come back and retrieve it. And what you should have in that instance is a really well, naturally cleaned skeleton that can be used for education, for conservation, for tourism. So it is, in all of these situations, there is always that potential to do something wonderful with the animal.
Patrick, I feel I may regret asking this, but I'll do it nonetheless. Surely if you have something that is going to stink as badly as a dead whale, adding horse manure to it mightn't be the right way to go.
But it's going to be buried. It's going to be buried and left there, so it won't smell at all, you know. And I think the smell is probably the worst part of the smell is when the gases are building up in the animal. And that's
why do you put in horse manure?
Because it's the microbial activity. You want the little critters and the microbes to eat the carcass while it's sitting there in its sarcophagus for a year or two. So the horse manure is a fantastic way of speeding up that process of breaking the muscle and the blubber and all the entrails down. So what you're left with at the end of that process is a beautiful clean skeleton that can be displayed. But horse manure is the key. Not cow manure, not pig manure, horse manure. It's full of wonderful. You ask any farmer what they want on their land or gardener, and they'll always say, yeah, God, it'd be great if I could get some horse manure.
Patrick, you are a treasure. Thank you so much for your time this morning. That is Patrick Hooley, who is sightings officer with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.